common link, which is the lamb, the little animal that, not being a farming kind of person, I've had very little experience of, but perhaps you have. But the most interesting thing is in the first passage, you know, John the Baptist, probably at the height of his influence in that time when he was baptizing people, there was such a lot going on, he stops everything and makes this amazing statement: "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world." Let's just focus on that. "Behold" is an extraordinary word. It's a word that says, look, stop the press, wake up and smell the coffee. Something here is new, something here is different. Don't be anesthetized just by what you're expecting. This is a big deal. Sometimes, you know, things sneak up on us and we just become anesthetized to truth, anesthetized to, you know, putting on weight, losing our hair. We don't really notice it's happening because it happens so slowly. We don't appreciate change that happens. In our old house, we moved house maybe 2 years ago. We had a view at the back. We live in Dorset, a few miles from the beach, and you could look for miles, really, at the back. And we lived in the house for 15 years. And when we first moved there, when you looked at the view, you could see a water tower on the horizon. And you could see the bowl at the top and then the stem. And over the 15-year period, because there was a landfill site sort of a few miles, but halfway between the back of our house and the water tower, the landfill very slowly got higher and higher and higher, till in the end, just before we moved, the water tower was completely invisible. And our friends would come around, they'd say, "What's happened to the water tower?" We go, "Oh, it's just gone," because it happened so slowly, you didn't really appreciate it. And sometimes what happens in life here is that things change so slowly, we don't notice it's happening. And it needs a big word like "behold," "behold," to cause us to, crikey, what's happened here? You know, the mountain, the landfill is obscured, the years have taken their toll. And so what happens when we don't appreciate change is it dulls our senses. We become emotionally numb. We don't appreciate the beauty of God. We fail to capture day by day the majesty and the wonder of his story and his sacrifice, because we become anesthetized to truth, because we hear it every Sunday, we hear it every day, it just becomes part of the noise of life, and we lose perspective, we lose sight, it slips away, until suddenly there's death, disease, disaster, shocks us into reality. You know, in the midst of life we have death, in the midst of great life we have death. This is not new. It's just we've become anesthetized to it. We have friends we've lost, children we've lost, siblings, brothers, sisters, parents. People slip away and we miss them, and life goes on. And so this big word, "behold," is a wake up. John's going, wake up, everybody, listen. Break free from the dullness, because the exciting news is that this is the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. Because the reason why this would have such impact is that in that system at that time, either every day or every morning and every evening, somebody would have to bring a perfect lamb to the area where they would all gather, and they would sacrifice the lamb. They would put a hand on the head of this perfect lamb and cut his throat to sacrifice, which was a reminder every day that we are sinners and we need forgiveness. But even then, the sacrifice, as brutal as it was, it wasn't an atonement where you expunge the sin. It was more like a system to placate judgment, a bit like interest-free mortgage. You know, you still owe, you're not paying off the capital, you're just servicing the loan, if you like. And so despite that, they would have to do this every day just to kind of keep the peace. And then all of a sudden, John says, like, he is the Lamb of God, who, and he will take away the sins of the world. He will expunge the sins of the world. He will make them evaporate like they've never been there before. And in that culture where they were doing this sacrifice every day, perhaps morning and evening, this was a massive statement. This was shaking the cage enormously. The Lamb of God who takes away, just removes, expunges the sins of the world. It was just shocking. Begs the question, why the lamb? Why, you know, why not a lion or, you know, some strong, mighty creature or animal? You know, why a lamb? Lamb, it speaks of purity. It speaks of meekness, which actually means controlled strength, not just weakness, but strength that's under control. It speaks of vulnerability, and it speaks of sacrifice, because the lambs were used in sacrifice. And like I said, the sacrifice would placate like an interest-only mortgage. And every day, these people would remember through the sacrifice their shame for their sins. And the dullness wouldn't be there because it was in their face every day. So why would God use the lamb as a symbol? Interesting. I think it's because it's something that everybody would understand. Everybody understands a lamb is vulnerable, pure, fragile, meek, sacrificial. Something that everyone would understand. Why? Because God, being the great communicator, uses things that we understand. He uses things like lambs that we get fairly easily. It doesn't have to be complicated or tricky. You know, you don't have to be a theologian to understand this stuff. Everybody understands a lamb is vulnerable and fragile. But what a great symbol and of the passion that God has to communicate with mankind, that he would want to use a lamb as a symbol. You know, he speaks to us frequently through simple things in life. It's just we don't often have the ears to hear or the eyes to see because we're pretty blinkered, and we're pretty, like I said earlier, anesthetized to his voice because we've become familiar. So when we're up in the mountains and we see a beautiful thing, or when a friend dies and we feel so sad, you know, those emotions, those feelings, they chime with the character of God. And yet we don't apportion them as being a message from God. We just think it's just emotions. But actually, the thing that makes us truly human is that we identify with the character of God and his feelings and emotions. And so in the next reading, the second reading, where it also refers to a lamb, you know, Jesus asks Peter three times, you know, will you feed? Well, the first time, will you feed? Do you love me? Yes, he says, feed my lambs. Second time, do you love me? Yes, feed my sheep. Interesting. Third time, do you love me? Feed my sheep. You know, I've talked about this before, and some of you will remember, but this is just such a lovely story because it tells you something about how sensitive God is to us as people. Because here was Peter, a ruined leader, somebody who lost his integrity because he denied Jesus just prior three times. And the scene is almost the same. So on the beach in this passage, it's early in the morning, it's half light. And in the denial, it's half light in the evening. There's a fire on the beach Jesus made to cook the fish. It's a charcoal fire. And in the evening, when he denies him, it's a charcoal fire. And you've got the three times that Peter denied Jesus, and then the three times at the beach where Jesus asks him, do you love me? And commissions him. Do you see the restoration? This is why I love Jesus, and this is why you do too. Because when you unpack these stories, you see such sensitivity and such grace and such attention to detail that his love and his message just becomes irresistible. And of course, he restored Peter, commissioned him, and out of his brokenness on denying his friend and walking away and being just a rubbishy friend to Jesus, Jesus knew that and restored him in the same way, in such a beautiful, beautiful way. And so we see that God restores him, and then God seeks to restore us, to make us the people that he truly wants us to be. And that chimes with the person that he wants us to be, and that chimes with who we really are on the inside. You know, God gives us the desires of our hearts because he gives us the desires of our hearts. You might want to think about that as you go off to sleep this evening. So as Jesus then has conquered death and resurrection through the cross, through the grave, through him coming back, Jesus is asking us, the same way he asked Peter, he asks us, in the midst of death, in the midst of disappointment and confusion, in the midst of terrible sense of loss and waste of youthful life and potential, will you love me? Do you love me? Will you feed my sheep? Will you feed my lamb? Basically, new Christians. Will you support and help new Christians? Will you do that? So I say the takeaway from this evening, as I come to a conclusion, is Jesus is asking us, do you love me? Or are you just going through the motions? Do you love me? Do you love me when it's difficult and confusing and like people have died, for goodness sake? Still, like Peter, our message wants to be, yes, Jesus. Yes, Jesus. Yes, Jesus. I will be the person you want me to be. I will be, in doing that, the person that I want to be. I will become truly, fully who you want me to be if I choose to follow you. That's our takeaway. So as we meet people in Verbia, as you go about, and, you know, we haven't got any easy answers here, but what we do have, and what I hope you appreciate, I'm trying to communicate to you, is number one, God is a great communicator and communicates clearly through symbols that we understand, like lambs, lamb, three fires, three denials, three affirmations. Yes, Jesus. And then appreciate that that dullness of feeling, that anesthesia which dulls us to appreciate who Jesus truly is, it will ruin us, because it will just sneak up. Suddenly we will be old and grey and on the way, and we'll think, what did I ever do with my life? We don't want to be that person. We want to be the person that says, yes, Jesus. Yes, Jesus. Yes, Jesus. Best decision I ever made. Best decision you could ever make. Will you pray with me just for a moment? Lord Jesus, over the miles from different nations, we gather by the power of Zoom and by the power of your word and your life. And Lord Jesus, we thank you. We thank you for the life you've given us. Help us to be stewards of it. Help us to not let the dullness of everyday life to blunt us emotionally. Thank you that you display emotion and courage and understanding. And we don't understand why some people lose their lives far too young, but we choose, like Peter, to say, I love you, I love you, I love you. Amen.
Amen.